For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So bizarre that two quarterbacks right now are not fully practicing at the start of training camp because of contract stuff. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And Perloff, I know that quarterbacks have gone into camp being unhappy with a contract or waiting for the extension. I don't remember them not practicing, though. This is very different because of now the new hold in where you essentially go to practice but you don't participate. It's created this sort of middle lane for guys who are upset with their deals. But I think this is a complete and utter failure by the Packers. Now, I don't know how long this is going to last. Tua is one of the quarterbacks who's sort of half participating. Jordan Love is not participating. Let's put Tua to the side because he's got injury history and there's a whole lot more in the sauce there.
Definitely.
But for Jordan Love, you have so obviously committed to this young man who you've been grooming and developing into the guy you only hoped he would be, and then he showed you he is that guy, and you were within like an eyelash of making the NFC Championship game last year. You've had months to figure this out. I just don't understand. It's crazy to me that Jordan Love doesn't have this deal done and is not practicing right now.
Wow, just keep in mind a couple things. This is the Green Bay Packers. They are not your normal team. They don't have an owner. They don't have, like, Hard Knocks Giants. John Mara's not going to walk down to the office. They play hardball. They played hardball with Aaron Rodgers, and they have to make him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, probably. The details at this level of contract are probably pretty important. Like, every little detail here means they have to cut some outside linebacker next year. So they're probably trying to get every little advantage they can out of this, because otherwise, they have to build a team around this $60 million. He's going to become the highest-paid quarterback. But I just get this vibe, and tell me if I'm crazy, Maggie, that there's nothing to see here. The Jordan Love looks happy. Brian Gutekunst, the GM, came out there and said, we love Jordan Love. We're working on this. We're right there. Adam Schefter reports that they're on the doorstep of a deal. Don't worry about this. Everybody has these positive vibes. You're right. I can't remember a quarterback holding out either, but nobody seems to be worried except you.
Well, I got back from vacation. I'm like, wait a minute. Jordan Love's not practicing? What is going on here? First of all, if you are going to make him the highest paid quarterback, you realize the water you're swimming in, it's deep water. You've been through this before with Rodgers. You've been through this before with Favre. You understand what this is. I mean, you're saying the details are all really important. I think at some point, don't you have to say, all right, we get it. Like, we're going to have to make him the highest paid quarterback. And by the way, we're cool with that because we were right. Like, we're right. We were right.
Right.
And I just think to let it go this long, to me, it's just an unnecessary hiccup is what I would call it. Is it going to have an impact on the season? Probably not. Although you mentioned Schefter said they're on the doorstep. I also heard Schefter say, maybe a little tongue in cheek, the time to start panicking is Labor Day. Like, Labor Day.
That's forever from now. That's fine.
But is he not going to practice until Labor Day?
Well, that'd be wild. They do have Sean Clifford running around back there. So
great.
Yeah, but you say, you're sort of painting a picture where the Packers might as well get this done, right? Like, just give him what he wants. But at this level, like, they really need to think about team building. Like, this is not a team that wants to use 40% of their cap on one player.
They're just like everybody else who has to pay a quarterback.
Yeah, but this is the most our quarterback's ever gotten. And no, they're not like everybody else. They are a much smarter team than everybody else.
Well, I would say
they're not the Jags.
No, the challenges, though, are just like everybody else, right? Every team who is lucky enough to have a franchise quarterback who happens to be ready for a new deal is always trying. Look what the Cowboys are trying to do. What are they trying to do? They're trying to maybe not pay Dak Prescott. Well, then you're going to lose them. And the Packers are not going to lose Jordan Love, but it's like there's also just a reality to this thing, which is you hit on the quarterback. Yeah. He's being talked about in MVP conversations. The team's being talked about as a Super Bowl contender. Get everybody on the field. Again, Tua's a totally different situation. Tua's got an injury history. There's baggage there that it doesn't feel like there actually is with the Packers. Like, they've cleared the decks so that it can be the Jordan Love show. And now all of a sudden there's cold feet, or there's negotiating or standing your ground or whatever it is. Like, training camp started, guys. Let's get the quarterback out there.
I see. The Packers don't do things the way other teams. When it comes to quarterback, listen, they're a team that had Aaron Rodgers in MVP form and drafted Jordan Love. They're a team that had Brett Favre at the top of the league and drafted Aaron Rodgers. They know what they're doing. More so than anybody. So if they're playing hardball here, they have a plan. I give them the benefit of the doubt.
So my other thing, too, about, we're talking about Jordan Love not being, he's a hold in right now with camp, but he's not participating. The other reason why I think this is crazy, that it's not done by training camp and let's just everyone hit the ground running. This is not a veteran who's heading into year 15. You know, this is not the continuity that has been forever. Like, you still have a guy who only is one season worth of starts under his belt. And yeah, he sat behind Rodgers for 3 years. That's fine. But you don't have this well-oiled machine. Let's not pretend like everyone's coming in and reading each other's minds. You have young receivers still. They're all growing together. But why you would think you could even possibly skip a step? Like, you can't skip a step. And I'm sure Packer fans are probably fine, and they're used to it, and they're used to this ownership group, the front office, rather, not ownership group, doing it the way they want to do it. I think it's just it just feels unnecessary, unnecessary sort of blip.
So let me make sure I'm clear about this. Yeah. So you're saying the front office is doing something wrong here, that they should have been done. I don't know. I just think,
who do you think's holding it up?
I think they're trying to convince him, take a little bit less to help your team, Patrick Mahomes style. And I think for some reason he's not doing that. But I think the public pressure is, you're the first here, but I think other people are going to be like, dude, what are you doing? You're the quarterback. You got to get out there. I think he's going to fold. I think the team's going to win this battle.
See, I don't love that, because it's always disingenuous from the front office, right? Like, they know, I don't know why this happens, but fans side with management. Like, I don't get it, because the front office is a little more faceless,
Well, first of all, the players are gone in 5 years. The front office is there forever. The team is, of course, you're going to be loyal to the team, not the player.
Right, but, is the team trying to, who's in the right and who's in the wrong here? Right? It's a negotiation, so it can be hard to tell.
Jordan Love's 25, 26. If I'm Jordan Love, I would take $3 million less so you can sign a wide receiver. I definitely would. I mean, I know that's $50 million in Green Bay. That'll last you your lifetime, your kids' lifetime, your grandkids' lifetime. So they're probably saying, hey, make this team friendly so we can fit players around you.
Okay, and I bet Aaron Rodgers, if he's still talking to Jordan Love, which I think he has become quite a mentor to Jordan Love, I think would say, you're going to take less, and they'll tell you they're going to get you more help, and then they don't. And they never did it for me. And eventually, they're going to ship you out the door like they did with me. And hopefully, you make some really great memories along the way, and you'll have that. Why not get every last dollar you can? Because the Green Bay Packers are not guaranteed to give you that wide receiver help that you are coveting.
Well, first of all, the Green Bay Packers, in reality, they have all these they have all these young receivers. They're going to have to pay those dudes, including Christian Watson, faster than you think.
But where's the big free agent signing here that he's going to be ushering in the door by taking less?
It's not. It's
never happened.
It's keeping your players. It's key. Hey, do you like Christian Watson? You like Romeo Doubs? You better take $2 million less, because you're not keeping both those guys.
Okay, but who's the most important person in that equation? Is it Romeo Doubs? Is it Christian Watson? Or is it Jordan Love? Jordan Love.
This is the Packers. They are all about the team, and they're going to make a compelling argument. Hey, listen, paying Jordan Love $60 million and hoping you're going to win a Super Bowl, the two things do not fit together.
So we're talking about Jordan Love and how he's a hold-in right now. It's odd for a franchise quarterback to not be participating in training camp. Granted, it's the first day. Like, they still could get this done, but it's not happening. They've had weeks and months to do this. Here's the other part where, if I were Jordan Love, I'm definitely, I'm wanting to get every dollar. Last year, the team made this, very tepid commitment to him, remember? And it wasn't even sure until he really started to turn it up, maybe halfway through the season. I don't think it was even a given that he was going to really be the guy. You know, it's not like they said, hey, we've been watching you behind the scenes for 3 years. We know that you are ready for this. They said, here's a couple extra $1 million to sort of placate you, and we'll see how this thing goes. Well, congrats, Jordan Love. It went great for you. You win. Like you,
right.
You are the winner here because you showed that you can win playoff games on the road, and now that's going to cost you.
Right. So he's going to get $53 or $55 million a year probably within 5 days.
Does it happen then?
I think so. And besides, I mean, we're talking about the Packers have given no indication that they're not going to give him 50 plus million.
So
he's going to make, and by the way, you're just like, take every dollar. Honestly, you're right. In general, athletes should be about themselves. This is not a take every dollar situation. Like, you got to be a little team friendly here.
So here's another funny thing, right?
Yeah.
So I went back to look at Joe Burrow's contract. I know Burrow, it made a little different. He had gone to the Super Bowl, all that stuff. But Joe Burrow didn't sign his contract till September. Remember,
yeah.
You did the, you ate the chili with no hands, the Skyline
right.
Chili. Because he had the highest contract. Joe Burrow, though, was still practicing and actually did get dinged up in training camp. The idea that Love is not practicing mm-hmm. without the new deal, does that not in some level signal a little bit of distrust between the front office and the player? Because if you really think you've got this thing and it's only a matter of time, go practice. What does it even matter? Say you suffer a knee injury. Are they going to pull? He's worried they're going to pull the offer or they're going to really change the offer
yeah.
if he gets hurt. That's very different from what we've seen in the past with teams and quarterbacks who are in a contract negotiation.
Well, also, too, his contract's a little different than I think a year past
yeah.
where Joe Burrow was. Also, Joe Burrow had been to a Super Bowl.
I know it's not the same. I'm just
yeah.
saying that usually quarterbacks are still practicing even if they haven't signed the deal yet. It's only now with Tua and with Jordan Love that we're seeing the quarterbacks not practice and also be upset with the contract.
Okay, you're a Packers fan, Maggie.
Yeah.
Do you want to make Jordan Love the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
I just realized that's the deal. Just like you realized
yeah.
it with Jalen Hurts and I realized it with Josh Allen. And when you're lucky enough where you're a fan of a team that has a great quarterback, you just resign
yeah.
yourself to the fact that your team's going to pay him.
Pay him, yes, but this, it's not just pay him. Like, there's definitely details that are important. I understand why the Packers are playing hardball. You think, you don't think Howie Roseman has some outs in that Jalen Hurts contract? Watch out.
Okay, well, then they could have done that.
They dumped Carson Wentz really fast. I worry about Hurts, too, because Howie was brilliant and set it up to where he can draft a guy and watch out there.
I'm just saying.
Like, that's why I'm sure the Packers are doing the same thing and be like, listen, teams are nervous. They don't want to commit for years and years and years to gigantic salary cap percentages. That's the bottom line here. So they're playing some hardball. But I'm with the majority here right now. Nobody is seeing a four-alarm fire. Everyone's like, he's a nice kid. It's a nice team. Everyone's kumbaya. He's holding in. I just can't turn this into a controversy yet.
You don't think it's odd that a quarterback is not practicing in training camp because of their contract?
Nothing to see here. I think it's fine.
We've literally never seen it before. I can't remember a quarterback not practicing.
I would check that. I'm not sure that that's never happened.
Not with a franchise guy. I mean, nothing's coming to mind. Maybe I'm wrong. 855-212-4227.
Do you see a lot of panic coming out of Green Bay?
Yeah, but they're always have a poker face up there.
Did you see fans panicking?
I don't know.
I do. Nobody. You're the only person who's upset about this.
I'm not upset. I'm just remarking.
Show me the Packers fans. Show me the Packers writer who is saying the sky is falling here.
Well, here's the thing. You kind of have no choice but to trust the front office because they've done this now a couple times.
Yep.
This is weird. Let's also not pretend like this is normal. It's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So to go on and be like, oh, no, this totally happens all the time. Quarterbacks don't practice when they're upset with their contract. Like, what? No, it doesn't. 855-212-4227. Okay, you are welcome to weigh in on that. We have an update for you on the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. We also have an update for you on the San Francisco 49ers. We have so much to do. Did you see Kirk Cousins rolling into camp with the Hawks jersey on? I saw someone saying that he looked like he was
yeah.
about to go to a 3-day music festival. Like, yep.
Peace and love.
With the Hawks jersey? Totally. 855-212-4227. Maggie and Pearl.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
Woo!
You get quality.
Oh.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Controversy brewing on the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. Of course there is. Can't get through a day around here.
What's happening now?
Some kind of major controversy.
Another tie?
Well, no. Right now, you can still go vote, by the way. Let me just get you the updates in 1 second. All right, in the Cheers region, we have two more slots to fill before the final four of the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. We started with 64 sitcoms. We're almost to the final four in the Cheers region. Cheers is just destroying Friends right now. Destroying. 62% to 38%. So I'm surprised by that. And MASH has now made a comeback. Mm. They are now leading Curb Your Enthusiasm 53 to 47%. First of all, I guess more of us were right about Friends than wrong, which is they've made it this far, which is kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're just, you know, now the true colors are being shown about how much people maybe love Friends.
It's all a matchup thing. I mean, Cheers could be the eventual winner. It's Cheers. It's the Cheers region. When I think of sitcom, what's the iconic sitcom? Like, if you think of what's a sitcom, Cheers is maybe the first name that jumps into my mind. So Friends could be the second best show in this bracket and lose this.
So the other controversy that's brewing is who is the worst character on Friends,
mm-hmm.
of which I said, without a doubt, Phoebe is the worst character, but Ross has really taken the lead as the worst character on Friends. So I mean, you can vote all those polls.
You can't compete with Ross. You knew that. Even you admitted that. You're like, I find Phoebe very annoying, but you're like, Ross barely counts because nobody likes Ross.
I think Phoebe, I said, was the worst character ever written on television. Stand by that.
Okay.
I mean, Urkel's funnier. Seriously.
Definitely.
At least Urkel had a line.
Thank you, EJ. Yeah, right. At least Urkel had a run.
Wall Street Journal's Joe Flynn came on. He was shocked that we had Family Matters as a high seed.
Well,
he said, like, the whole thing with this is their levels of shows. Like, obviously, Family Matters was not trying to be like this intellectual humor. It was like silly. Like, there's what do you want out of a sitcom? Do you want Three's Company like Bilotti?
Yeah.
Do you want like highfalutin humor like
Frasier?
Frasier. Yeah. Like, so it all depends on the audience. I think it's really hard. It's such a personalized thing. And everyone keeps getting mad about these sitcoms. But, hey, you like what you like.
That is true. And so you can still go vote. If you're wondering about the other half of the bracket, the two sitcoms that have already moved on to the Final Four, that would be number one seed Seinfeld and the number two seed The Office, which took out The Simpsons in a bit of a controversy.
I'm not so surprised about that because The Office is streamed everywhere. Everyone watches. It's a little more recent. Simpsons, it's probably going on too long, maybe 26 years too long, but it's still, it's iconic. It's sort of Family Guy, all those shows, South Park, they all owe it to The Simpsons.
Very true. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. We shortchanged you last hour, Bogish. What do you have for us this hour?
Once again, guys, dark times at Yankee Stadium. Those Yankees began this season 50-22. They are 10-22 since, thanks to last night's 12-3 shellacking from the Mets. Nobody's having fun. Not even Susan Waldman on WFAN radio.
No. What's that purple thing called?
That's Grimace, the McDonald's mascot.
Okay, well, I don't go to McDonald's.
Yeah,
so
that was like the Mets rallying
cry. Okay, so Grimace or somebody is wandering around. Oh, it's just a regular person. It's a Mets guy. They're taking pictures. He's got that purple thing on. Okay.
Oh, he just ripped it off, that costume. Pitch. Oswaldo Cabrera batting from the left
side.
Well,
it's 85 degrees. He's got this thing on.
I mean, the only thing she didn't do is eat Burger King in his face. What?
To be honest,
that
though,
purple thing.
And I can say this as a Mets fan, most of us would be mistaken for Grimace.
Well, okay. But Grimace has been around for a long time.
Does she know the Hamburglar is?
I would hope so. And Susan lives here. And like, Grimace has been annoyingly connected to the Mets now for like 2 months because right. their season turned when she threw out the first pitch before a game. And Susan just met Grimace last night.
She doesn't have to go to McDonald's. I mean, Grimace has been all over the place. Since Grimace came out, I don't think I've went to McDonald's. I mean,
Grimace was around in the 80s, I think, or the
90s. It might have been the 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Grimace. A flex from Susan's. Like, I don't even know who that is.
You know, McDonald's, huh?
Well, if he was the Yankee mascot, though, she'd be in a Grimace costume in the booth next to Emmanuel Babari.
Roger Clemens!
There's a famous line in The Simpsons, he's already dead. It's Homer beats the Hamburglar to death. And someone goes, he's already dead. So those McDonald's characters are iconic. They've been around a long time.
A McDonald's French fry you got in a kid's meal, and it folded up into a Grimace or a hamburger.
Right.
Or
mm-hmm. And then she said, "Oh, it's just a guy." Like, did she think there were purple things walking around?
Again, it's Mets fans. You don't know. I get it. Yankee fans a little more buttoned up, a little more pristine.
Had that bus full of Grimaces come by today.
Listen, there are some dolts at Citi Field, but none of them are purple.
I think Susan was done with it, though. I think she was just done with everything.
Mm. I get it. I mean, it's been some really frustrating baseball to watch over the last couple weeks with the Yankees.
And then totally. You get Grimace shoved in your face. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
To be fair, the creepiest one is actually, we're saying it, Ronald McDonald.
Oh, it's a clown.
Stephen King definitely, like, it must have been, like, the inspiration. Ronald McDonald must have been the inspiration. I'm not saying that they don't do great things. The Ronald McDonald House, all that stuff is awesome. I'm just saying the actual physical.
I'm glad you qualified that, Maggie. Have
any of you guys ever seen the original Ronald McDonald with the little paper cup over his nose, like the paper cup that you use to wash out your mouth at the dentist? It is horrifying.
Terrifying.
Actually was
the
chatting.
Fact that McDonald's pushed Ronald McDonald as a baby face is ridiculous. He is definitely the most heel-looking one in the group.
Totally. I was chatting with a relative, someone on my husband's side, during this vacation that I just got back from, and he and his wife actually dressed up in clown costumes for like this National Clown Day, and they went to a park in Washington, D.C. with like a bunch of other people dressed up as clowns. They're like regular people, like lawyers, and they just like did this lark, and they're like, we couldn't understand why more people, they kept saying, we're so afraid of you. They're like, did you know that clowns are scary?
I love how you qualified that there. That was my husband's family.
Definitely. Very sweet people.
Can I make an apology, by the way? It was Krusty the Clown who killed the Hamburglar. It was an opening of a Krusty Burger in Wisconsin, and this little character comes on, I'm going to steal the hamburgers. And Krusty goes, he's stealing the hamburgers, and strangles him and beats him to death.
Family programming right there.
Yeah.
This not win?
Yeah, because you can do anything in a cartoon.
How did it lose to The Office?
Well, they put in Itchy or Scratchy. I forgot which one. Yeah. They put fireworks in his costume during Itchy and Scratchy Land.
I mean,
imagine if Susan saw that.
Oh, my God. I don't go to Itchy Scratchy Land. Simpsons, huh?
Yeah.
I don't even watch Simpsons.
You guys kind of know. Did you know Susan? Like,
I was texting her the other day. Susan is like a huge mentor to me. And she's an inspiration. She just got a Lifetime Achievement Award. We were texting about it.
Where did she go to dinner? I was wondering.
I don't know.
Fancy places?
Not there.
Wendy's.
Not McDonald's.
Apparently not.
Staunchly Wendy's.
Yeah. And just to remind you, the Mets won last night 12-3 at Yankee Stadium. Francisco Lindor, 2 homers, 5 RBI. They sweep the 4-game Subway Series.
Does Aaron Boone get fired this year? Is this the end of him?
After the season, possibly. Not now.
Yeah, who are you replacing him? Replacing him with now, if you did it,
an actual robot.
It's awesomeness or nothing else.
I mean, the guy who would have replaced him is in Queens right now,
exactly.
Doing his damn thing.
Oh, Rob Thompson down with Philly, who was their bench coach forever. Yeah. They could have hired him. Mendoza was right there under their nose. They could have hired him. Didn't do it. Stuck with Boone.
Even the manager of the Astros. Why am I blanking on his name? He was a Yankee guy too.
Joe Espada.
Oh, Espada. Yeah. I was like AJ Hinch. Yeah, I don't know. But now it's going to be, wasn't there an idea that if Boone goes, then Cashman goes? the general manager. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I've always said Brian Cashman is kind of like Tom from Godfather. It's like he's not part of the family, but he's part of the family. Like he's not a Steinbrenner, but he might as well be.
Agreed.
Giants pitchers no-hit the Dodgers for 6 2/3 last night. The first five of those innings came from lefty Robbie Ray. It was his first big league start since Tommy John surgery last May.
It definitely was a long journey, very thankful and excited to be back out there today.
The Giants won 8-3, ending the Dodgers' five-game win streak. Mike Trout's back in the Anaheim area to have his knee checked after one minor league rehab game. He left that one after two innings on Tuesday because of stiffness and swelling in that knee. Angels manager Ron Washington did say yesterday Trout was feeling better the morning after. Kevin Durant continues to practice with Team USA and continues to talk like he'll play Sunday's Olympic opener against Serbia. KD skipping their entire exhibition schedule because of that calf issue. The Olympic men's tennis bracket came out this morning, and we could get Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal in round two on clay in Paris.
Good question, by the way. Is Kevin Durant going to like play and like be part of this team without practicing? Like,
why are we keeping up this ruse? Like,
wait, what do you mean?
Holding out.
Well, he's keeping it up because I don't know if you saw, like, Brian Windhorst said Kevin Durant is mad at me because I keep talking about the fact that he's like injured and he might not be able to play. So it's Kevin Durant keeping up the ruse.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play in the exhibition games. Is he just going to want 20 minutes with this team?
I don't know. It feels like we're all just sort of like playing along with this like weird Kevin Durant Olympic fantasy.
Olympic cosplay, yeah.
Yeah, but he already has a gold medal.
If you're the Phoenix Suns, how do you not come in and say, hey, this is over? Like,
yeah,
this guy just had an Achilles tear that started from a calf injury. And I feel like we're playing deja vu all over again from the finals in, what, 2019? Like, he can't play in this. He shouldn't.
Well, they kicked Kawhi out, and they let him Durant do whatever he wants. I think they have until like Friday if they wanted to make a roster change. But after Friday, if he can't play, he can't play. And I don't think they can replace him in the tournament.
I think the correct answer is anyone but Jaylen Brown.
Clearly,
he's not making the team.
I don't mind that my team, the Sixers, have Joel Embiid out there, and he's hurt because now the rest of the country gets to see what it's like to have Joel Embiid limp down the court in a key moment, and they can feel my pain.
Right. I love that you think more basketball fans are watching this than the Sixers in the playoffs.
Oh, I definitely. Way more people are going to see what the Joel Embiid experience is now. They're going to feel the disappointment of Joel Embiid. Trust me on this one. How that guy is in the starting lineup over AD, whatever. Anyway.
Suns owner Matt Ishbia says he would love to bring hockey back to the Phoenix area, but there is no indication he's had any actual talks with the NHL. As we all know, the Coyotes are now the Utah Hockey Club, at least for the coming season, as they have moved on to Salt Lake City.
You know, I don't like hearing that.
Yes, Pete?
I don't like hearing that at all. The team just moved. Now, oh, wait, let's bring them back.
No, not bring them back. They're not coming back. But remember, they did this weird thing where they moved them, but the coyote, like the essence of the Coyotes, is it like in like the freezer in Phoenix?
Ghost
and then
of the Coyotes.
The what? NHL.
Coyote essence. Sounds
is that Aaron Rodgers thing?
Yeah. Sounds like a rejected perfume.
So the guy who had the Coyotes had the rights to them for 5 years, but then he just, I think they just stripped him of that because he continues to suck. So
maybe
Ishbia could bring a team back, call them the Coyotes, but they wouldn't be the Coyotes. They're in Salt Lake City.
Here's a word to Gary Bettman. Maybe you should vet your owners a little better.
Thanks, Pete. I assume our friend Kay Adams gets paid very well to host Up and Adams on FanDuel TV, but this is not what she signed up for. This is a recent chat with Niners defensive back Diamador Lenore.
My smoke detector still go off right now.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
Is that your smoke detector?
Yes. I didn't switch the batteries. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Diamador, were you sleeping with this going like? Well, I don't understand.
I didn't hit Swift so hard as I don't even hear it.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck, so I just let it go. Like I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious. Like,
are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
Where are you right now? Like, where?
Santa Clara.
You're in Santa Clara, and you're there often, and you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
Yes.
And you don't even hear that.
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
And it's because you're superstitious.
Superstitious.
Diamador, this is the crazy. I've done a lot of crazy things. I've heard a lot. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I literally want to scratch my skin off because I keep hearing this noise and you don't even hear it.
Like for games, I listen to the same songs. I'm very superstitious.
That's not the word.
Give Kay the Pulitzer, man. She got to the bottom of that because that was very confusing. She asked all the right questions, all the follow-ups. Well done. Journalism's not dead. Way to go, Kay.
Wow.
What is wrong with this guy?
I don't know. And I thought it was hilarious that it's like the detector knows what's going on and it picked the right points to beep. It's always in like an open space. It gets louder for impact too. It's like the detector was a person as well.
Does it ever just die?
No, I don't think so.
It just beeps forever.
It's probably good that it doesn't die, right? it's a good thing that it still at least beeps.
Fair. I can't imagine anything more. I'm with Kay on this one. It would make my skin crawl.
Yeah, we've all lived it. You cannot not address it.
Yes.
You have to go and do something about it.
Most people pull it out of the wall.
And throw it out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll also say this. I know Lenore says he's played well, but they just lost a devastating Super Bowl. I feel like this is the time to say, you know what? Let me change the smoke detector.
Start sacrificing chickens.
We just lost the Super Bowl.
EJ, you're right. Like the sports gods gave you the out. You just lost the Super Bowl in overtime in devastating fashion. This is the time to put the batteries back in the smoke detector. It's not working. The superstition's not working.
You might want to burn things down at this point. clear the juju. Come on now.
Yeah, lean into the smoke detector. Right. Light a fire.
He changes that smoke detector. Kyle Shanahan knows the rules of overtime this year. Guarantee you.
I like how Up and Adams has turned into this old house.
What is that, linoleum?
Tomorrow we learn Joe Flacco will teach us how to change a light bulb.
Also, we lead at that.
Man, I can't even have, I don't know if you guys are like this. If there's a clock that has a second hand that ticks loudly, I can't sleep.
Well, I think everything is my house falling apart. Mm. That's water dripping. Yeah. The AC sounds odd. What was that noise? Did something just fall?
Wall caving in.
That smells like something.
But you don't get scared is this a home invader? It's more I have to fix this?
No, the home invader is mold or...
slow burn.
Yeah, exactly. Not another human.
Fire.
I get scared of the suburbs. You ever see that movie where the strange people come and knock on your door in the house when you're out in the country and they're going to kill you?
Every horror
movie? Yeah.
It's either that or the house is alive, weirdly possessed, and the house will kill you.
There's one particular one where there's just you're in a country house and there's
strangers?
A knock on the strangers. Yeah. That is, Zoo, you know what I'm talking about. That's the worst nightmare. That's why I live in an apartment. We could get robbed or killed at any point, but it's going to be the isolation of being out there scares me.
Then you have the money pit, which with Tom Hanks and Shelley Long with the house caves in.
Yeah, that's not a horror. Well, it depends on what kind of horror you are.
That's horrible to me.
Bilotti, that's my wife's favorite movie, by the way, of all time.
Really?
Yes. She thinks it's so funny.
Early Tom Hanks.
It's quite different than The Strangers.
Tom Hanks wasn't in that one.
Literally could not be a more different movie.
Same.
But that movie would have a smoke alarm that never went off, Lenore. So good callback, I guess. That's one damn big llama there, as Aaron Rodgers said.
Is this how this trivia works? Do I get to do the trivia now?
Did you ever see The Money Pit?
Tom Hanks.
How about The Man with One Red Shoe?
Oh, love that movie. Underrated. Got panned. Lori Singer?
Knowledge. Let's go to another question. Who's the oldest NFL Hall of Famer to be inducted?
Oh, yeah.
I got George Blanda.
No.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Great guy.
No.
Oldest? What do you mean oldest to be inducted?
Oh, is it a coach? You said player.
I think at the time.
Oh, right. Blanda made it really recently. Oh, I don't know.
It'd be Ed Sable, 94.
From NFL Films. Sorry, you didn't say player. You just said person.
Said oldest NFL Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
In Omaha who wrote these questions. That's a good one. We need another one to clear the palate off that.
All right. Who has the nickname? The Minister of Defense.
Reggie White.
There you go.
I'm going to call party foul there. Maggie, the rule is Pete's got to call on you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm new around here. Yeah. I came off vacation today.
You've got to give one more.
Right, I'll give you one more. In 1979, which actor showed up to a Denver Broncos game to perform with the team's cheerleaders? Maggie.
No, it was Perloff.
Oh, Perloff.
Lonnie Anderson.
No.
Bogus.
Bo Derek.
No.
Is it somebody from your BIT?
B. Arthur.
Suzanne Summers.
No, he's not a BIT.
Not Suzanne Summers.
No. I think you're in the wrong church on this one.
What actor? Me. You said actor, male or woman?
I said which actor.
Oh.
Who would perform?
In 1979?
Tom Hanks.
No.
Actor who would perform? Robin Williams.
Yes.
Oh, Mork wow.
Mork and Mindy. Oh. Right, they had a Broncos tie-in. Darn it.
Yeah. All right.
That is by the way, there's some mad genius writing these football trivia questions.
Can we have more minister defense ones? They're a little easier to get.
Yeah, I told you, Meg. I told you it came in. And, like, these are questions that a lot of people did not get. There was one yesterday, which logo faces the wrong way? We spent about a half hour, me and Bogus, arguing
Chiefs?
About that.
No. Which one, the only one that faces left, and the answer is the Eagles, but it's their logo, not their helmet, which has the wings coming off the forehead.
Yeah.
The eagle head logo faces left.
I guess slightly.
No idea.
Yeah, like the beak is here into the head and body. Nobody else's goes left. Everybody else's goes to the right.
That's what the card said.
Can I tell you, I've been looking at the baseball ones. They are much easier. It's like, how many games are in a season? Whoever's doing the baseball one really mailed it in. Yeah.
162, but it used to be 154.
They didn't ask for extra credit.
So, yeah. That is correct.
And now it's 18.
Now it's 18. They're going to 18 games, two bye weeks. Maggie has to move her Egypt trip away from mid-February.
Just and I am callbacks. Not happy about it because I first learned about Egypt when I was in a gifted and talented class in the third grade.
But you're cool with Robert Saleh.
Aaron Rodgers, a gifted and talented class from elementary school.
All the things that Aaron Rodgers, all the things he's done, almost ran for vice president, had huge issues with the vaccine. Maggie's mad because he was bragging about being in a gifted and talented class in seventh grade.
You're 40. You can't be dining out on gifted and talented from middle school. You sound
like somebody wasn't in it in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
What was the first tip off, Bogus? We've known each other for a long time. Clearly, I wasn't in the gifted and talented class. And if I was, you wouldn't know it.
Why is that the thing that?
Because it's so lame to be bringing that up.
It's very pretentious.
Oh,
it's
thank you,
EJ. Extremely pretentious. I saw that and I was like, oh my God. Really, dude? Come
it wasn't pretentious when he was lecturing us on the Tartarian Empire on some of the podcast.
I found it quite enjoyable.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you, Bogus. Everybody, we still have a lot to do around here, including more NFL training camp updates. We also have a big update on a deal that went down. We have the details next. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, NFL training camp, open. However, we did leave one thing that we need to talk about, Perloff. Going to take a quick left turn here, and it's from Big Ten Media Days. We already told you about Deshaun Foster, Coach Foster. Wanted to make sure that everybody... in the Big Ten, knows exactly where UCLA is. Can I hear cut two, please, Pete?
We're in L.A. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A.
Oof.
It's us and USC.
Once again, Maggie, I challenge you to tell me what is not factual about that statement.
Way to sell the program, Coach. It is in LA. Thank you. We could have gotten that from the title. And so is USC. The other interesting part was Lincoln Riley, speaking of USC, was also on the podium, and he was not happy and refused to answer a question, a comment that was made by the Oklahoma athletic director, where he said all the coaches who didn't want to go to the SEC are no longer at the school. And Lincoln Riley wouldn't even like dignify that with a response. Should he have, Perloff?
No. This has been floating around Lincoln Riley since he left for USC, that he was afraid, because he was killing it in the Big 12 with Oklahoma. The whole thing about Lincoln Riley, I think we got into this a lot last year. It's just, there's a vibe that's off with him. He just doesn't seem like he can put a whole program together and win a national title. And he's being paid like that. The expectations are like that. He's had the Heisman winners. It just doesn't feel like he is the whole package as a coach.
He's made the college football playoff, though, several times as a head coach. Now, you're right. It was coming out of the Big 12. But at that point, it wouldn't matter because it was only four teams in the playoff. So it's not like 12 now where you're getting automatic bids and stuff like that and then at-larges. I think this could end up being a really good season for USC. They did take UCLA's defensive coordinator. It's Anthony Lynn's son, DeAnthony Lynn, who really did wonders with UCLA's defense last year. You wouldn't know it from listening to Coach Foster, but they had that going for them. They poach a good defensive coordinator. Anything is going to be an upgrade. And you don't have to worry about Lincoln Riley when it comes to offense. I mean, Miller Moss could be a Heisman candidate. I know you were looking at him going back to the bowl game last year and started to get him really excited.
Oh, yeah. But you say a really good season. Like, what are your expectations? Isn't it? It shouldn't be playoff or bust for him. And they are borderline.
Okay.
I mean, if they could get out of this new Big Ten schedule, I know it's on the easier side, but I'd be surprised.
No Ohio State, no Oregon.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of a break there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing I think is going to be an issue with USC. Not so much like can they win games, but are they just going to end up getting elbowed out, so to speak, of all these at-large bids? And say they go 9-3. Like, is that going to be good enough to actually make the college football playoff? I don't know.
Their win total, by the way, is only 7.5. I mean, they start out with LSU. I'd like to see the odds on that. I think LSU would be favored. They're a premier program. So if they get three, I don't think three losses out of the Big Ten will do it. How many teams are you going to get?
Well, that's
you're
going to
get
I'm
five?
I don't. So you're going to have the five automatic qualifiers, right?
Right.
Where you have the four power conferences and then the group of five.
Yeah.
So, and how else are you going to divvy up the other seven?
Well, okay. What is the power ranking in the Big Ten? Obviously, Ohio State is going to be one by, and then Oregon. So then there's a way USC is better than those teams. That's not what we're talking about here. So we're talking about the next tier down. Is Michigan not going to be as good?
Washington? The two teams that were in the title game last year?
Washington certainly will take a step back. But obviously, they lost their coach,
Penn State.
All-world quarterback. Penn State's really good. Now they have a 12-team playoff. Can even James Franklin get in there? It just feels really tough to me. If you were going to ask me to do a show bet, I would say USC not in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, again, I think they could end up having a, air quotes, good season and still not make the playoffs. And I don't know if that's possible because the expectations at USC are high and rightly should be high. Like you mentioned, Lincoln Riley gets paid really well. And, you know, turns quarterbacks into Heisman Trophy winners and all that stuff. But they might just get edged out. I mean, how many SEC teams are getting at-large bids?
But just forget the numbers. Like, is this going to be a classic case of a transition to a new conference where the team is not the same? We've seen that so many times. By the way, I have the Big Ten preseason poll. 1, Ohio State. 2, Oregon. 3, Penn State. 4, Michigan. 5, Iowa, who's good this year.
Yep.
And 6, USC. So they're 6 in the poll. It's going to be tough for them to box out. Maybe you get 4 teams out of the Big Ten. Who knows how many of the SEC. They're real borderline. That's an interesting bet. Will USC make the playoff?
We should put that out as a poll. EJ also weighing in that LSU is a 6-point favorite over USC in week 1. Thank you, EJ.
Yeah, I generally remember we had Brett McMurphy on from Action Network. It is just really hard to switch conferences. It could easily go south. The examples where it's gone great, I think, are few and far between.
It's true, but nobody's saying that about Oregon.
Well,
and I think Oregon's going to be fine.
Long term? Yeah, I mean, they have Phil Knight spending a lot of money, but I don't know. I'm not as convinced. Yeah, nobody said Nebraska was going to fall apart in the Big Ten. You don't see it coming. Do you really? I mean, by the way, Texas, Oklahoma, let's see. That is a big if to me. Are they going to be as good in the SEC?
You can still go vote at the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. We're looking for the last two entrants into the Final Four. So Seinfeld and The Office has already made it through to the Final Four. Now Cheers is leading Friends 63-37, 63% that is, to 37%. And MASH just edging out Curb Your Enthusiasm 53% to 47%. Go to at Maggie and Pearl and you can vote and let your voice be heard. And we'll have the Final Four tomorrow. While you're there, you can also vote on our other polls, which is this season the last best chance for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl, Perloff? 65% say yes.
That really flows off the tongue, that poll right there.
And then one that's a little more easy to say. Who is the worst character on Friends?
Yeah.
With Ross still leading the pack.
I think we should have taken Ross out of that. Is Phoebe second? I know you you have an issue with Phoebe.
Yeah. Terrible character. I don't have an issue with the actress. Lisa Kudrow's fine.
See, I think most people find her harmless. Like, obviously.
It's not funny.
She's not unfunny.
But she's the weakest link of that cast.
Well, David Schwimmer's character was not really funny, per se. He was sort of, a doormat. Who was funny? So who was funny? Give me your funniest character.
This is why I wasn't a Friends person. Chandler. I think
you said
Chandler
that begrudgingly.
Was funny. Begrudgingly Chandler.
Tom Selleck.
The guest appearances. Yes, Brad Pitt was hilarious on that show for the four episodes he was in. Thank you to Big Zoo, Eddard Zubin. Thank you to Pete Pilotti. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Feels so good to be back.
Yeah, and we apologize to all the Friends fans out there, by the way.
We have a lot of listeners who like Friends, Maggie.
Come on.
I apologize for nothing. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.